we'd like to welcome everybody out tonight to the Daniel Town Council meeting, Monday, November 4th, 2024, at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Wasatch County Services Building, Conference Room B, 55 South, 500 East, Heber City, Utah. And like I've already said, we welcome all of you here tonight. It's good to see all of you. We'll go to agenda item number one, which is public comment, and we'll open that up now for public comment. If anybody wants to, you come to the pulpit, state your name, and go from there.
I'm gonna be nice.
I just want you guys to you told Scott Hill a couple of months ago to do something, and he's not doing any of it on the ordinance. And I wondered if you could make him not haul 100 loads of slag into his yard, because it stinks and I'm allergic to it and I don't like it. And I don't like him doing it on Sunday at 8:30 at night when he hauls those big trucks and double loads. He doesn't need to do that. That's my opinion.
And the early startup.
Do what?
Early startup.
Oh, that would be Scott Coleman. And I'm not really good at waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning. In fact, I'm a royal bitch at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I'll be nice, okay? You already know that, so.
Marcia, thank you. Is there anything else that you would like to say while you're up there?
I just don't want you to put a cement plant by those people that are sick. The kitchens. That really bothers me.
Okay. Anybody else have anything for public comment tonight? Okay, let's go to agenda item number two. Agenda item number two is public hearing for the Nader Enterprise Zone Change, parcel number 20-4480. I'll call for a motion.
Make a motion to open the public hearing for the Nader Enterprise Zone Change possibility.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second it.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. So we're now in a public hearing for the Nader Enterprise Zone Change. We have Nate here with us tonight. Nate, I like putting people on the spot, you know that.
Sure.
So
you want me up there?
If you want to just come forward and tell us a little bit about that.
No.
Do we have a map?
No, just
I'm unprepared without a map, and I apologize. I can explain the property really easy, okay, though. My name is Nate Orton. I own the property that's out on Mill Road and Highway 40, the triangle where the landscape nursery trees are. Most of you probably drove by it numerous times. It's approximately 3.8-acre triangle piece that borders Stephanie Wilson Hume's place, and then also I have a 3/4-acre lot that I purchased from Rob Armstrong when he did his subdivision. And so this piece that we're trying to get the zone change borders that as well, which is currently zoned commercial. That piece is. So we're currently operating our landscape business under a, sorry, as some sort of variance to run that. But we're not allowed to sell retail or do anything like that out of there, according to those.
Conditional use permit?
Yeah, conditional use permit. That's how we're operating our landscape business there now. Any questions?
Main or.
You get in Silicon Highway 40 or from Mill Road?
As of now, I don't know that I have access off Highway 40. There is an old ranch exit on that, or entrance on that, an ag entrance probably on that fence line. There's an old gate there. And I figured someday if I was to develop it to something different, then that would be a fight that I'd have with UDOT. But I've maintained that farm access there off 40 just for that reason. Currently, I'd probably say I don't know if we could access on 40. Let's see. I have no idea what I'm going to do with the place at this point in time. The reason I'm requesting the zone change is because there's one time a year to do it. And so I started this process back in June so that we can do it. We just have it done. And I'm not getting any younger, so when I do decide to sell it, I just want it done. And so that is purely my intention. As of now, I plan on operating my landscape business there for several more years. So
you would have a commercial retail sales there?
I'm not planning on, at this time, I'm not planning on doing any retail sales.
But you could.
I could. But that is not my intention of changing the zoning. My intention purely is for future development and for property value, and if I decide to sell it, it's already done.
Correct.
So I have no plans at the moment to develop it myself.
Who was the original owner that got the conditional use permit?
Myself. So
why did you not petition at that time?
I did petition for that, but there was quite the pushback in the county or in the town at that time. And I actually was told the reason it was denied, what I was told by the planning department, whomever, I don't remember exactly who, was that they couldn't provide me with the proper services, i.e. water and sewer, which I later found out wasn't necessarily true, because there was an agreement with JSSD that we could bore under the highway and tie into their line. So before I knew that, so I actually went down the road of leaving the town of Daniel and getting annexed into Heber City, which I legally could do if the town of Daniel couldn't provide the services and Heber City could. There's a state statute that would have allowed me to do that. So I started the process to leave the town of Daniel and go to Heber City. And in the middle of that, then I was informed, because I think the town didn't want to spend the fees to fight it in court, that I could.
You could have done that. That would have been one of your options.
So anyways, at that time, I dropped that legal process and just decided I'd wait and be patient for the time is right. Since then, the Armstrong subdivision got changed and got the zoning changed, and basically, you know, enough is going on now that I wasn't the first guy beating my head against the wall, and so now I'm here.
But you envisioned needing sewer. Is that true?
Well, someday, yeah. Someday if we, Russ Witt, when he did his thing, they bored under the highway, and they have a pressurized sewer line or pipe that they took under Highway 40. And I've looked into it, I've talked to JSSD, and I could bore under the highway and tie into that sewer line, and I could, for whatever is gonna happen in the future. So Anyway, so I've got that option. Russ, when he did his thing, he brought the water line down. There's a water line and a fire hydrant right there by my 3/4 acre lot, so it's literally 75 feet from this property now. So all this has come to pass over the last 4 or 5 years. So anyways, the timing's right. I'm in no hurry, but I just want to get this done.
Nate, thanks.
Yep.
So I just want to, I do have a letter here from the Planning Commission, and I'm going to read that right now. This is a recommendation from the planning regarding the Nader Enterprise zone change for parcel 20-44-80. It says, Dear Mayor Kohler and Daniel Town Council, on October 23rd, 2024, the Town of Daniel Planning Commission held a properly noticed public hearing for a zone change application from Nader Enterprises to change the current RA5 zone to the commercial zone for parcel number 20-440-80. Following the public hearing and Planning Commission discussion, the Town of Daniel Planning Commission unanimously voted in favor of recommending the zone change to the Daniel Town Council. Absent from the vote were Commissioners Skinner and McGeehan. Chairperson Wade did not need to vote as there was no tie to break. So we have that letter from the Town Council.
Planning Commission.
Yeah. Planning Commission. So, does anybody have any questions? We pretty much well listened to Nate. Nate, thank you for your comments, your discussion. So, let's, if there's no other comments, let's close the public hearing. Call for a motion.
Are there any public comments?
Any public?
Guess not.
So, I don't know if I could hear Robin down the end, but if the property, the zone change was granted, and you decided to turn or sell that to a commercial entity, the point of sales would be off of that property, but also there's a number of things that could be put on that property other than what you got going now. I mean, we could have a gas station, we could have all kinds of things on there. And so I don't know if I guess that was discussed with the Planning Commission, I guess.
It was.
And with that, there is no understanding that as a result of this zone change that somehow Daniel's Town is going to provide services that may not be available to us to provide. So whoever, if you were to buy that property, this zone change shouldn't be a signal to them that they've got a green light to pretty much do whatever they want to there. I mean, they'd still have to have sewer or water if that was required by the health department or whatever. So
yeah, I mean, they would have, I'm assuming that whomever or myself, if I because I've looked at a lot of different options over the years, talking to different guys, trying to decide what to do, you know, long-term plan with that. But like I say, the water line is right there, and I could, you know, whatever development got approved by the town at that point, the water is close enough that it'll be very economically feasible to provide water to that property. The sewer is close enough that it's totally economical feasible, and so all that would be crossed at a different, I mean,
at a different time. That's great.
I'm assuming whatever the guidelines right now for commercial property in the town of Daniel, whoever buys it is going to be limited to those, that criteria that's in the current commercial code.
Correct. So right now, the culinary water that you have on your property is from a well.
Okay. For the house. The house is on culinary. I do have a water meter setter set right there on my 3-quarter acre piece that I currently don't have a meter in, and we're not utilizing it at that time. That's where the Iron Horse rental guys are renting that for me, and right now we're not utilizing that water meter at all. But it's there on the lot for that particular piece.
Yeah, I don't think there's ever been a hookup paid for that lot.
No, it never has.
Yeah. Okay, just wanted that stated in the record. So property directly southeast of you, or not southeast of you, is that is zoned commercial also right now, isn't it? Where the Quonset Hut is, the big Quonset Hut.
That's Russ's property.
Yeah, that's all part of Russ's.
Yeah, I think that's still under some long-term grandfathered-in thing, that particular, the Quonset Hut itself, but where the Frito-Lay is and Russ's buildings are,
that was all zone change.
That's all zone commercial right now, yes. Okay. So the only piece that wouldn't be, if you guys approved this, would be the Wolstenholme's piece, which would be kind of sandwiched in there.
Yeah, kind of created an island just with them right there. I don't know how much their property, how much acreage they have there, but evidently there wasn't a concern. I haven't heard of anything through the Planning Commission that they were objecting to this zone change.
No, I think once the Armstrong, in my opinion, once the Armstrong subdivision was approved, it kind of set precedence for you know, this to happen. And like I say, I've just had no reason to pursue it, partly because I missed the deadline last year. And so this year I made sure I was on top of it, so.
So right now you reside in the house?
No, I rent the house.
Okay, you rent the house, okay.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
I move that we go out of public hearing.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, let's call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Lauder, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pierce, yes.
Okay, very good. Let's go to agenda item number 3, which is the possible adoption of the Nader Enterprise zone change, parcel number 20-4480. And I'll call for a motion.
I move that we approve the zone change, as is stipulated, stated by the mayor.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Lauder, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Benz, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to agenda item number 4.
Thanks, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
Public hearing for the TH land zone change, parcel number 20-4495. And I'll call for a motion.
Motion open to public hearing.
Yep. Do I have a second?
I second it.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Lauder, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
We're now in public hearing for the TH land zone change, parcel number 20-4495. There you are, buddy.
Yep.
Come on, Dr. Addy.
Also on Highway 40.
Wes Harris.
South.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Go ahead and talk to us.
Okay, so we met here, I think it was back in June. We've gone through everything, got all the Mylar signed. We met with UDOT, and everything has been signed off on to this point. And now we're just seeking for the commercial use. So we subdivided into 3 different parcel numbers. The 2 are residential lots. They're approved at border Little Sweden. And then we'd be coming off a 40, Highway 40, for the commercial that we're seeking now.
So where are you anticipating coming off of Highway 40?
So, where are we at right here? Trying to find, oh, there's Houston's here, so we're right here. So it would be right there.
Right there.
All right, so you're going to come down that property line?
No, we'd just be coming in right off of 40.
We're talking about the yellow property, right?
Yeah, no, that's Houston's. We're talking about this property, yeah.
The only access into that parcel right now is off Little Sweden Road.
Yeah.
Down here on the south end of that.
Correct.
And so that's how they will access that. This access right here is dependent upon the UDOT and a few other things.
You got it. With the stoplight, with going in the, yep. Yes.
But, and down here, this will be subdivided into two.
It already has been.
Already has been.
And approved.
But you're, is that a part of your commercial development too?
No, that's already done. And it's residential.
Residential.
Yeah, because we did not want added traffic on Little Sweden.
So your only access can be out of Highway 40?
For commercial access, yes. Now, there's an emergency exit, would only be for emergency vehicles, but that's it.
Where will that be?
That runs right along.
Parallel this?
You got it.
You have an easement for that?
Yes, sir. Granted an easement for that.
Okay, you granted an easement for it?
You got it.
What's the width of that easement?
Whatever they.
60 feet, right?
What was that?
60 feet.
Yeah, I don't know, whatever they require.
That's probably 26.
Yeah, they're, I think it's even 30, so, yeah. Yep.
The fire chief looked at the Mylar and had to sign off on it and checked all the specs to make sure that there was emergency access.
Do we have that to look at?
I'm sorry, I.
This is pretty insufficient right here.
Really sketchy.
I was at.
I had the details.
I was asked to cut down my packets.
Okay.
So this was the packet that we went over. Next time I'll bring more stuff.
Anything else for us to look at?
You don't have a copy of the Mylar?
I do not have a copy of the Mylar. No, I thought you would have that.
So you'll be expecting water service from Daniel Town?
No.
No.
Nope.
Twin Creeks.
Twin Creeks.
Yep. And then same.
What about residential homes?
So there's already well on one of them.
Well.
And we do a well on the other.
You've got permits for those wells?
We did the, all of the, everything necessary. Yeah, the well is already in existence.
I understand. You said one well and then another well.
Yeah, so then.
The state is not permitting wells. Are you sure you're going to be able to get that well permit?
That's already done. Like that's, we already have that. We already have a parcel number, like those lots are done. Like that's, it's been issued. Yep.
Is there some reason why you're not connecting up to Daniel Water System?
We're not there. We're not there.
We're not there.
Not there, okay.
That would be why.
It's Twin Creeks.
It's outside our service area.
And they actually.
How far is he away?
Quite a ways. We stop at Mill Road.
Yeah.
What, Mill Road?
And there is a Twin Creeks meter on one of those parcels as well.
So you'll be getting your water from, or you're going to drill wells? The reason I ask that, I used to work for the Department of Natural Resources. And I know Wasatch County is an area where they were, the state was not going to permit wells because of, if you have access to a public water system and a well becomes a potential intrusion for contamination.
Sure.
And so, well, we're not. Right here. But if you've already got your permits, everything to go.
Okay.
Yeah, there's 21 acres up here that goes with this, that's got a different parcel number that is.
So let me ask you a question while they're discussing. So are you, the reason you're drilling a well is because you need more water flow than what you would get out of a connection with Twin Creeks? Because the dollars and cents are just not getting sense.
So for the two residential lots, there's one that's existing on the city, right? And then we'd just be drilling one on the other one.
Right, but what,
Do you know how long it's been since that well was used?
Negative.
Because an adjudication, if it hasn't been used within 7 years, the state is probably withdrawing your permit for that well. You've got to prove up.
If we've upheld it and we've paid for it, paid for the right, then we're still fine. But nonetheless, we can work through that.
I'm just curious, like Gary, why you're not tying into a public water system?
Run it up there.
It's there.
No, it's not.
It's on Little Sweden Road, and you could.
Yep, bring it on up. Bring it on up, we'll hook right up.
So the application's for zone change on a different piece, right?
Right.
We're not talking about.
You got it.
But we're talking commercial.
For your commercial.
Correct.
And you're not that far to be able to bring that down to.
Boy, that's definitely something that we can discuss as far as an option, if we can come up with an option that makes sense for both Daniel City and for us in the commercial zone. So, yeah, definitely not opposed to it.
I can tell you, if you have to drill a well, you could run an awful lot of line of water for the price of drilling a well.
Sure. So we can definitely look into that and see what makes the most sense. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why my question was, it's not a matter of volume that you need to run the commercial operation. It's just that you figured that was the better way to go. Okay.
Do you have irrigation shares that go with the property as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And how are you planning on using that water?
The irrigation water. Just, I mean, right now we're just using it as farming.
Would you plan on putting some kind of divider wall or something between the residential and the commercial, or would that be up to whoever develops?
Yeah, that'd be whoever develops and whatever we agree with the planning and you gentlemen.
That'd come
with. Yeah, absolutely. The last thing we'd ever want is to, you know, disturb anybody or obstruct views. That's.
Can you point out approximately where that line for the residential land is?
So it comes about right where this line right is, where it's at right here, and lines up with it, and you've got 10 acres down here.
So you two 5-acre parcels.
You got it. Just like that, and then it splits right there.
Perfect.
Yep, you got those cool trees that are still there.
Right.
Yeah.
So everything's residential.
Right, exactly right.
Yep.
This is what bumps us.
And eventually, going to the DOT, where the only way to access that is directly to this commercial. And I think that's the nice thing.
That's the nice thing, yeah. I don't think that.
Mayor, do you have a letter from the planning commission?
I do have a letter from the planning commission. Do you want me to read it? I'll read it. Okay. So this is dated October 25th, 2024, regarding the recommendation from the planning regarding the TH land zone change for parcel 20-4495. Dear Mayor Kohler and Daniel Town Council, on October 23rd, 2024, the Town of Daniel Planning Commission held a properly noticed public hearing for a zone change application from the TH land to change the current RA5 zone to the commercial zone for parcel number 20-4495. Following the public hearing and Planning Commission discussion, the Town of Daniel Planning Commission unanimously voted in favor of recommending the zone change to the Daniel Town Council. Absent from the vote were Commissioners Skinner and McGeehan. Chairperson Waite did not need to vote as there was no tie to break. Sincerely, the Planning Commission. So, any public comment while we're here about this rezoned acres up on Highway 40? Any other comments from the town council?
If the discussion I heard that he was telling us was that for access onto that would be access from Highway 40?
That's the only way to access that.
The only way to access it. My concern a little bit here is the fact that we're zoning commercial to Little Sweden Road with residential on both sides.
Say that again?
No.
No.
Because we're not accessing from Little Sweden.
No, but the property goes to Little Sweden Road.
It does. That's two residential lines.
This line right here.
Okay, those would both be residential lots.
These two lots are residential. This lot up here.
I thought it was the other way around.
Sorry. No, we're talking about this little chunk. But yeah, the two residential lots, 5-acre lots.
Here is what they're commercial, is what they're changing from RA5 to commercial. The only way to access it would be after UDOT does.
Okay, someone said we were talking about the purple.
Yeah.
The purple's coming up, that's third and last.
Oh, okay.
Any other questions, any other comments?
So we got 10 acres on, which would be the southeast portion of the property that would still remain RA5? Okay.
Yep.
And then about that 21 acre lot right there is what's going to commercial.
Yep, okay.
Any other comments, any other discussion?
You have had discussions with UDOT.
Correct.
They seem to be fine.
Eric?
I probably need to clarify because they have access off of Little Sweden right now. They will continue to have access off of Little Sweden until the UDOT is approved. So that right of way comes off of Little Sweden, that's how they access their lot. When it goes to develop and they get access off 40, that will change. But right now, the access is off of Little Sweden.
What? Yeah, that's.
So it would not be for commercial use because you're going to have access off of, you're going to have to approve it.
But it will be for construction and trucks and earth moving.
No, because it'll all have to be approved way ahead of time for that to happen. It would be approved for farming.
Just farming.
Yeah, you just have an ag use only through that access. That's all it's going to be. You're going to have to approve us to do anything prior to, you're going to have the UDOT approval. Then you're going to approve that.
Then you're going to have to dedicate an easement there. If you're going to dedicate.
There already is.
An easement there, and that is less the 10 acres or including the 10 acres?
Well, it's part of that lot.
In addition to the easement that's going to be a dedicated road, you've got 5 acres to dedicate to each of those residential lots.
Yeah, and then you have the easement that borders this, which would be the east boundary.
I just wish we had the Mylar here so we could see.
I think what he's asking is it 5 acres plus the easement, or is the easement on the 5 acres?
Can't have the easement on the 5 acres.
Sure you can.
Not the road, not for a road, not for commercial access. We have an ordinance in the town that says.
But it's not commercial. Our code says 5 acres prior to dedication.
Right.
They subdivide it 5 acres, they dedicate that easement back to the town? That is.
Only the frontage?
No.
No, it's the side right.
Doesn't matter where it's on the property. That is measured prior to dedication.
But we also have an ordinance that says that you can't access industrial commercial through a residential area. So you're telling me you're going to make the road an industrial road or a commercial road access?
That's what I'm telling you. The access is off of Little Sweden until that changes.
Right. But if that doesn't change and they want to use that as commercial property, they're not going to be able to access that according to our town ordinances that we have in place already, because you can't annex commercial property through a residential area.
Through a residential zone.
Right.
So a road is not going to be zoned. If that would, you couldn't get go through anybody's zone if we didn't travel down.
No way for us to use it for commercial use.
Right.
Without coming off of 40.
Yeah. I don't think it's an issue with this parcel, but I want you aware of that.
Well,
that they very well could use this as their access.
To farm it.
Yes.
To farm it.
Yeah.
No.
Then we're saying for commercial opinions and ideas here.
Yeah.
He's saying it will only be used for farming. You're saying it could be used for industrial, I mean, commercial.
So who would have to approve that for that to happen?
The town would have to approve it.
The town would have to approve that for that to happen. That's the only way.
Right.
And you're not going to approve that. And we're not going to ask for that. We're going to have to.
According to him, it's, we can't disapprove it because it's already a part of.
You can't build a lot that has no access. You know that.
These residential lots have access. I understand that.
I know, but that subdivision that was just approved put a lot back there that doesn't have access except for that.
And the developer says he's going to get access off the highway.
Right.
But now you're telling us that if he can't, then this can become the primary access to a commercial zone passing right by people's homes.
According to your code, that's correct.
That's a game changer for me.
I just want you to aware of that. You can change the code, do what you want.
I thought the code protected us from accessing commercial or industrial property through residential area. But you're saying the road can be zoned industrial or commercial.
All the roads are not zoned. Roads are not zoned.
He is telling us you're already approved.
I know, but that's the access.
It's an access. That's what I just want you aware of. I don't think that's going to happen here, but it could.
If they go through the planning commission, you have to go through.
Well, how I understand is if he came to say, hey, I want to build an apartment complex, that approval would be, you would say that approval is only dependent upon getting UDOT's approval.
No. If UDOT doesn't give you permission because it's a limited access highway, you just have a small corner, and maybe somebody else has already beat you to the punch on approved accesses. If you don't have access through UDOT, he's telling us, then you now have access for commercial development through two residential lots.
And you'd be forced to approve it?
You have to have access, but I don't know if the development part is up to them with that.
That's exactly right. That's what I'm saying. The development part, you still have to approve. So you would not approve it.
I would very much like to know if you, I mean, I would jump all over this if I knew you had in hand a permit from UDOT to get that access. Then this becomes rather moot.
So.
But if you don't, which is a big if, because I've worked with UDOT on many occasions, and sometimes they can be very arbitrary, you now have 21 plus acres that you don't have access to unless you zone change here, or unless you're deciding to run that, all those people accessing that commercial development right by that house. And that house, and that property, and all of Little Sweden. So all I'm saying is, I'm a little bit of a loss if what Eric is telling us is true.
Will you please speak to what we talked to UDOT about?
So there is an agreement with UDOT for a signalized intersection at the point where that intersects Highway 40. So at some future point, there will be an intersection there.
10 years, 5 years?
Don't know.
We don't know.
We
exactly.
Don't.
Yeah. But he's probably not going to want to sit on commercial property for 10 years or 5 years.
That's right.
He's going to want to develop it or sell it. And now we're stuck.
That's a possibility.
That's a possibility.
And I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't tell you it's a possibility.
Well, I appreciate you doing your job, but did the Planning Commission know this?
Yes.
They knew that there had to be access down that.
They know that that's what he's trying to do is get highway access off the highway.
And they don't. And if he doesn't.
Yeah, if he doesn't.
And we have no alternative but to allow
that's
a road right off of Little Sweden, bringing a grundle of commercial traffic.
Here's what the Planning Commission understands is that they would have to approve whatever plan came to for the commercial development. They would have to approve that.
I get that. I understand.
So there's not going to be a grundle of people coming off of Little Sweden accessing it through two lots if it's not approved.
Excuse me. Once it's commercial, you can do anything. You could put a grocery store there if you wanted. You may not want to, but you could. Because
without approval?
It's commercial. You're already zoned.
So I can do whatever I want.
Whatever is falls within the commercial zone.
I don't have to come in and present a plan to the planning commission of what we're going to do and get approval with the planning commission to be able to do that.
You have to come in and get approval for water, roads, other kinds of things.
And the city division, and the plan for the commercial, you have to.
And the width of the road. How wide are the commercial, the residential lots? 5 acres?
Yes.
Yeah, so to get a road to access 1,000 people.
You're not gonna get.
You'd have to exceed the easement, which would then.
Yeah, wouldn't approve it.
It would take the lots out of conformity.
Is that what you're saying?
But you're saying we have to provide access.
Right, there has to be.
That's the scary part.
Yeah, well, and commercial has to have two entrances and exits. They're not gonna let them develop any commercial.
One in emergency, and the other needs to be its primary.
Right, and so it's not gonna be developed unless they get another entrance out of there.
Okay.
So there's not gonna be any development going on until there's another access. I just want you guys aware that is their access.
Yeah, I think we've got the cart before the horse in this scenario because of the fact that there is no access off of 40 that's signed, sealed, and delivered, whether it's next month, next year, or 10 years down the road. And so the can of worms that we're opening up by allowing commercial to access through the 2 5-acre residential properties is not a great idea.
And so this is the process that you go through, because nobody's gonna go to UDOT and pay $750,000 unless you have a zoned commercial. You're gonna have return on that property. Nobody is gonna put that money up.
$750,000, what's that quarter?
What's that?
What's the $750,000?
Whatever UDOT decides to pitch.
Oh, come on, Eric, that's a little bit of an exaggeration.
It's not an exaggeration.
It really is.
You wouldn't go through it though unless it already was.
You wouldn't.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be going through this either if you didn't know you couldn't have that. And so it looks like to me, if you had that access, we'd have a complete package. Right now, we're kind of left to kind of hope that everything falls into place.
And I guess that's where we'd have to disagree, because where if we can't come out, have the emergency exit onto 40, we could never access it from street.
For fire trucks? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, so
yeah.
You've got to have two entrances.
I'm talking about the access to the commercial businesses that could land on 21 acres.
Right.
And that's a lot of vehicles. Could be a lot of
vehicles. The only way you can is off of 40.
Well, I don't know.
That is the only way.
No.
So
what are the odds?
So why don't you pursue getting that?
Oh, very high.
You obviously can't market the property, nor can you even sell it or anything else unless you've got that access. What's the stuff?
But I don't want to get that access first. Not a problem, because money could possibly access that.
Yep.
Until it goes in.
That's very true.
Yeah.
You ready for any kind of?
Okay, we proved the zone changes. What's gonna stop you from getting that access?
Well, once it's approved commercial, then we can pursue it at that point.
So this is probably further along than you guys think. We have meetings with UDOT and Independence, the town of Independence, on the signalized intersection. It's just not there yet.
I agree, Eric. I know that there's been talk about that.
Yeah.
But we don't have the complete package. We're kind of acting on faith that we will have at some point in time the complete package.
And in lieu of that,
and I understand the farming access. I know you've got to do something with that ground. You're just not going to let it lay fallow, and you're going to farm it or do something with it. And so and you don't even have homes on your residential lots yet, so you'll still need to have access. But there's on our agenda tonight, there's another property right to the.
That's who currently leases it for the farming.
Correct, and he's
so
now, he is going to apply for commercial change as well. So somebody along there is gonna have to, I know UDOT will not permit access if within like, what is it, 750 feet?
Hence the line.
One per 750 feet.
Yep, that's where the light
comes. High-speed road.
Where the light comes in.
Right.
Yep.
that could be out there a long ways.
And it could be next to...
That could be, UDOT's funding is dependent upon their ability to perform.
I know the Town of Independence is actively pursuing it.
Well, this would be, we call it recommendation or whatever, my thoughts is that the zone change be stipulated upon the written or whatever it takes from UDOT that there will be a commercial access off of 40 to that property. And at that time, when that is granted, then we would reconsider the zone change that you've requested tonight.
I'm not sure we can do that legally.
Sure.
Can we?
Sure.
Put stipulations on the zone change?
I don't believe you can.
I don't think we can. We either change it or we don't.
So let's backtrack just a second. Anything else left in the public comment before we close it?
I guess all I would say is that if you zone it commercial without two accesses, right, a main access and then an emergency exit, you cannot have it be commercial. Like, we could not put in whatever we're going to put in. We couldn't do it without it. You got to have it. So there's your safety net.
You just answered your own question.
Why should we permit a zone change when you don't have two accesses?
That's right.
Because why would we go get it if it's not commercial? Well, why would we go spend that money if it's not? If you would rather, I guess we could just go with the residential subdivision and propose R5 for the rest of it.
You still got to have access off of 40.
No, you don't. Not if it's residential. Not if it's residential, you don't. We would just access it all off a little sweep.
26-foot road. It just has to be 26.
And we can go, if we want to go that route, we can go that route.
I don't think we're opposed to it.
It feels like it.
No, you're misreading.
Well, maybe it's your
planning. The Planning Commission has given us a solid recommendation.
Yeah, to do it.
But.
What we're
learning here tonight is new information that brings into question not the value of what you're doing. Have you checked all the boxes?
Is it the information the Planning Commission had when they recommended it to you to have the zone change? Did they have that same information?
We're being asked to change a zone when you do not have two accesses.
And what did the Planning Commission recommend?
I don't know. I wish the chairman was here.
Well, we do know.
Well, we do know, because we just read it.
But did they know the information that Eric just gave us that basically
they can't
get this?
He said they did.
Eric, you were in that meeting, so yes, they had that information.
It was discussed. The 40 access was discussed.
Okay.
And that was a unanimous recommendation. So, any other comment? Before we go out of public hearing. Okay, I'll call for a motion.
Motion to end the public hearing.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Bolton, yes.
Water, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, now I'm going to call for a motion.
Can we have some discussion first, maybe?
Sure.
Yeah.
Can we legally change this zone without two entrances?
Yes.
We can. Okay.
But you're saying we have to provide access.
No, they have to before they develop.
They have to provide access.
You guys are providing
the zone. Before they develop it. But
right, that's a requirement.
What would be the logic of us approving the zone prior to having two accesses?
I think the logic is the marketability of the property. Because like I was telling you, nobody's going to put that money out unless they can make money on that property. That's a big hurdle getting past the zone change. That's a big deal.
You said,
but it's a,
you've been to UDOT and you've already told them that this was going to, I mean, they've already said there's going to be some change there at that intersection.
Right.
So what's the, why are we in such a big hurry to change the zoning prior to having two accesses to the property?
This is a property right. You can petition you guys to change the zoning, markability of the property.
And you said something that was just a second ago, that we should or could change the zoning without two accesses being available.
That's right.
Where, do you have some precedent or something?
That's a development requirement, not a zoning requirement. That's a development requirement.
Wait a minute.
I see.
To have commercial property, you need to have two accesses.
No, to develop commercial property, you have to have two accesses. There is commercial property all over that don't have two accesses. But to develop it, that's when the two accesses are required. Because it's a safety thing.
Of course. I'm just looking out for all of those people along Little Sweden that path of least resistance. I don't want to drive through out onto the highway to come into this commercial development, so I'm going to take the path of least resistance.
It's emergency.
And if I'm coming from the east side of the, I mean the west side of the county, and I need to access that commercial development, guess what? Guess where I'm going to go? I'm going to go right up that emergency access.
Not if there's a gate that says emergency access only, and you have to get out and open it. You won't.
When do we have gates on emergency accesses?
We do have them.
Can you tell me one?
Every gate that goes in has emergency access. If you go into Hobbs's, there's a yelper on there. It opens automatically. Every gate that there is has to have that.
So are the roads inside this development going to be Danieltown roads, or are they going to be maintained by the developer?
They are a private road. They are maintained by the developer. However, that dedication, if the town decides they need that road, that's when they would take over the maintenance and operations of that road. Should the town decide that that's going to be somewhere that they need a road in, that's when that becomes a town road. That's why the dedication.
We also tonight have another zone change on a piece of parcel right adjacent to this parcel. And are those people willing to share in the access road and the development of that road? If it becomes a parcel for their
that has been a requirement of UDOT along that highway access, is making them share accesses. So UDOT's required that the Trunell piece shares.
We're talking off of Little Sweden.
Oh, off of Little Sweden?
Doesn't go all the way through. So
I understand.
They don't border it.
For about 200 feet, it goes off, it borders their property as a commercial zone change.
So they'd have to have access to the easement, which currently they do not.
Yeah, but there is no access to this. Well, I guess we'll talk about that when we talk about that zone change.
Well, I would just bring up that when we become a town, we fought considerably to stop 3000 South and Little Sweden Road as being bypass roads, which would basically turn into a commercial road within our town. And now we're talking about the possibility of opening up an entrance that if UDOT does not approve a commercial entity, then that property that we would say tonight is rezoned commercial could not function according to what we're getting told here, because they didn't have the two accesses to the commercial property.
Okay. So then we'd have to go back in and change it to residential?
No, we wouldn't. Why would we have to do that? It can sit there as zoned commercial.
Because he's going to come back and say, I want to build homes then.
Well, then that's okay. He applies, he submits a permit, request, exactly. And yep. Does it.
That's what I said.
Any more discussion?
Yeah, so what are the drawbacks of zoning this commercial? I don't know that I see a drawback to it. It's on Highway 40. They can't do anything with the development of it without another access. if they sell it and someone else wants to develop it for zone, or for commercial, they can't do anything with it until they get another access. So I don't know, maybe I'm missing something, but I don't see a concern. Help me out, Eric, am I?
No, that's why I said, this is the process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
The part that concerned me is the road, the 60-foot road that would now access from Little Sweden into the commercial, because they don't have an access off of 40. That's, you know, to me, that's the cart before the horse, but that's just my.
We wouldn't have to approve that, though.
Approve what?
You couldn't.
We couldn't approve that road going back into there.
Eric just said we already got one.
Well, they have access.
They do have access.
He says he has an easement.
So what I'm saying is, you change the zoning, and they've already have access because it's RA5. Once you change it to commercial, then you have access to commercial through RA5 property.
But to develop it.
It doesn't matter, it's zoned commercial.
But to develop it, right?
But how you gonna, say it's 10 years, how are you going to go through that property to get to the part that would be zone changed to commercial if you didn't access it through RA5 property?
Well, you wouldn't do it, you wouldn't have commercial going on there. The only thing it would be is ag at that point.
Well.
It'd sit empty. You're not just gonna park a bunch of cars or bring a bunch of cars in just to have people come drive around it.
So just to make sure I understand that, it would sit zoned commercial, and they couldn't do RA5 stuff on it. They could just do commercial on it, and there would only be one access, and until they got a second access, it's sitting there just zoned commercial as a field.
You got it.
Yep, that's the way I understand it. But in order to move their process forward, it's gotta have a zone change.
Right, and I didn't mean to sideswipe it, I just wanted you aware.
No, I didn't.
That is their access.
It's awesome, Eric.
Okay, anything else, any other discussion? Okay, I'm gonna call for a motion to go out of public meeting.
You did that.
No, I don't think we did. Did we?
You did.
Yeah, we did.
We called for a vote? That's right, so then we were at discussion. I'm just making sure I know where I'm at.
John requested discussion.
I'm ready for a motion.
I made the motion that we approved the zone change.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, no.
Lauder, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, no.
Okay. That takes us to agenda item number 6. This is set a public hearing for the Houston zone change application. And I want to continue this, so I'm gonna call for, I'm gonna ask that a motion be made that we continue this. So.
Continue what?
The setting, the public hearing for the Houston zone change.
So moved.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay. Also, that's agenda item number 6.
Okay, we need a vote.
Need a vote on that.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Lauder, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. And then also, for agenda item number 7, Drew, appreciate you being here tonight. But I'm gonna do the same thing for agenda item number 7. If you look, we had this, we were applying for this for January 6th. So I'm gonna ask for a continuation on this one also. So if somebody's willing to make a motion for a continuation on this one.
Can you, I agree with you, Mayor, but can you just pre-focus a little bit about what you're trying to do? So
Drew,
we'll have some,
go ahead.
More information, so next time when we hold the meeting, we won't be holding you up.
So I own the old Heftel property at the end of Big Hollow, so it's, go to Big Hollow, so there's a home that sits on 5 acres, and then there is a parcel next to it that sits on 32 acres or so. So we, and Jack Rose lives next to us and, or across the creek, and so he currently accesses his home through my first house. And I guess legally and technically, my brother owns the 5 acre home with the house on it, and then the 32 acre piece in the back is what we would like to rezone. That got rezoned automatically when it was in Heber City, and then when you guys incorporated, you took that zone off.
County.
County, yes. So it's currently zone P160, and so I would like to apply to get both of those parcels rezoned. My first parcel is already on 5 acres with the house, and that got zoned to P160. And the second zone, from the way I understand it, is it's 160 acre minimum. I can't do anything on it. And so the road that actually goes through my property is a county road. It's called Cobble Creek Lane. And so I do have access to that back parcel. I'm working on another project to get access to it as well, from the Smith's old property. And that's gonna be a county approved or a city approved spec road to access the lots. And so I would like to live here. And
sure.
I would like to live here, bring my family here.
You'd like to subdivide those into 5 acre lots or especially here?
Yes, well, yes. Or even if it's, right now I can't even put one house there. So, because it's only 32 acres and it's gotta have 160. So it's been stuck. And the previous owner met with council and she really struggled to sell it. I bought it and, you know, she didn't pay the fees and it kind of stopped. And so I'd like to take up where she left off so I could hopefully build some homes back there.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. There you go.
I move that we postpone this item.
Continue
this item for what agenda for the December meeting?
Let's just continue it for now.
Oh, continue it for now. Okay.
Yep. I think the Planning Commission has to see this, correct?
Is that why we're continuing it?
Correct.
It has to go through the public hearing process.
Second.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Walter, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Ben, yes.
Chris, yes.
Who made the motion?
For your time.
Robin.
Robin. Okay.
Okay, let's go to agenda item number 8, which is new business licenses.
Wow, we made it through all those.
Wait a minute, don't get too excited.
Oh, don't get too excited.
Through all of them.
Well, the zone change.
Okay, so we have a new application here tonight for a new business. The name of the business is Bow and Arrow Ordnance LLC. The applicant is Jordan S. Rude, and I'm believing that this is Jordan.
Yes, sir.
Would you come on up and address us, if you would?
So, I'm Jordan Rude. I'm applying for a business license. As of right now, I currently hold my FFL, which is a federal firearms license from the ATF. But in order to continue running my business out of my home, I need to get a business license, obviously, for up here. My business will not be increasing traffic on my road or anything like that. As of right now, I'm still in the research and development stage of my business since I've recently moved up here in July. But to prevent my FFL from getting revoked, I need a business license for here. I won't be doing any development or manufacturing out of my property. If at the point I want to grow my business, I would move into an industrial space. But as of right now, I'm just trying to keep my license because getting an FFL and dealing with the federal government is going to happen.
How long have you had that?
I've had the FFL now for over 2 years, originally from Scottsdale, Arizona, and I've moved up here. I was home-based then. Business got a little pushed to the back burner because I got married, I had our first kid. So other things were taking precedence over a little bit of a hobby business, but I just want to continue the license. Just with the current administration, it can be hard to get it.
Jordan, your address here is 481 T. Ankam Road.
Yes, sir.
Which is, as all of us up here that have lived here forever knows that, is Ron Hinckley's
yes.
old home. And so this also comes with a recommendation from the Planning Commission. This appeared before the Planning Commission last month. And so does anybody else have any questions for Jordan?
So what do? Do you sell bows and?
No.
No, I'm an FFL, so I'm federal firearms license.
Well, I thought I saw something like bow and.
It's my Bone Arrow Ranch was my family's weed and cattle ranch.
Oh, that's the name of the.
So that's just the name of the company. I've started with the family name.
So it has nothing to do with bone arrows?
No, sir. I've tried doing some archery stuff, but I only end up with tag soup, so I stick with the firearm. I'm better with that. But. No, so as of right now, I have my SOT, which is a special occupation tax license O2, which allows me to manufacture and own NFA items, so suppressors, short-barrel rifles, short-barrel shotguns, machine guns, stuff like that. Mainly my testing is, or my business is, I'm looking to do some development in the world of suppressors. So as of right now, my license, instead of going to a gun store, buying a suppressor, paying a $200 tax stamp, waiting 3 to 12 months for that to get approved with my license, I can buy it and have it shipped to my door. It's been on my books and I'm responsible for it. And so it makes it easier for me to acquire suppressors and then test them.
Can people buy them from you?
They can, but I don't market it as that. I'll do it for friends and family, but I don't like doing the paperwork.
So do you have any employees?
No, just me.
Planning said yeah.
Yep, Planning Commission recommended it. So any other questions for Jordan? Jordan, appreciate you being here tonight.
There'll be no noise complaints.
Got suppressors.
So, you made them for shotguns.
I'll call for a motion then.
Motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
Second. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Slaughter, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Okay. Let's go to agenda item number 9. Commercial condo possible code change discussion. And in the Planning Commission meeting a few weeks ago, Eric was able to put a little presentation together and talk about a few things, and so I've asked Eric to take a little bit of time tonight and talk about this commercial condo possible code change discussion. This is question and answer. We're going to turn the time over to Eric. This is related to the NECO building. That's where this discussion first initiated, was up in Nephi Trunell's building up on Highway 40. And so we're going to turn some time over to Eric and let Eric talk about this. But you do have a sheet.
It's in your packet.
In your packet.
It's two.
There are two pages here. And Eric, you can either sit right there or come to the podium, whichever you prefer.
Wherever you want me.
Yeah, you go wherever you want.
So this is just, I'll just sit right here unless it gets heated, then I'll come up. On my way out. This commercial code was requested by Nephi Trunell as a commercial condo, as they build these bigger buildings, you see. They want to be able to sell individual units out of that. And so to do that right now is not allowed by our code. Condominiumizing is not allowed by our code in the town. And so they've submitted a code to us. They wanted us to adopt it. Planning has been through that. We've been probably 6 months more doing changes, tailoring that to fit to our town needs, what we see that the town needs. And so it finally came to the point where in the form that you have in your packet, that's where, with the positive recommendation from Planning Commission to adopt that code and allow that to happen in our town. There's a lot of restrictions on that. I would not suppose that you would even think about adopting that until you have time to go through that and look at it, it could possibly change a lot in the town, I think.
And that's what you stated a few months ago, was that same thing, there was state regulations involved in that?
Yeah, so the state does regulate it, Chapter 8 of Utah State Code. And so our document refers a lot to that because of the restrictions and the, I guess, the requirements that they're asking for are much more stringent than what we have. But they have to follow that. We can be more stringent than the state code, but we can't be less stringent.
So remind me, if I remember right, this, based on the state code, the town would have a whole bunch of responsibilities, right? Related to condos. Can you remind us what some of those are?
Well, just right off the top, you know, now we're dealing instead of with one owner for a building, now you could have up to 7, 8 in the Nephi one we're looking at, in that one. We do have other storage units that are ready right now for a building permit, so it could bleed over into those units also. But we could have 7 to 8 owners, and then we're dealing with all of that. Where if it's one owner, we would go to that owner, he would have to deal with the tenant. So you could get a little bit more staff to do overhead on the complaints and things if you're receiving complaints.
So if somebody's fugitive dust, because they're sawing wood, carries over into the guy next doors, is that the town's responsibility, or is it the owner has sold the building out to, like you said, 7 or 8 people.
Right.
Who has to be the judge and jury there?
Well, there's an HOA, yeah, for one thing.
Yeah, there is an HOA. But still, the town is going to be out there doing the, just like we do with every complaint, making the contact, trying to rectify it.
If we go to the condominium,
right.
Right now, correct. if there was that case, we would go right to Nephi and say, "There's got a problem with your property."
And is there anything in here that limits how many condos there can be in a building?
It's limited by size. So if you look on the last page there, 2,500 square feet, I believe, is the number.
That's minimum size.
Number six, item number six.
That's the maximum.
What's the minimum?
2,500 or less.
That's what I said. So 2,500. But there's no stipulation on how small it can be.
No.
That's not what it says.
What does it say? Isn't it say 2,500?
It says no commercial condominium unit may be smaller than 2,500 square feet.
That's how I read it.
May be smaller than. So they have to be minimum.
Right.
As this is written, minimum 2,500 square feet.
Right.
So did the Planning Commission recommend these changes?
They did. Yeah, this is about the sixth rendition.
So where can these occur? Only in commercial zones?
Commercial zone only. That's the only place it's allowed.
This is an adoption to our zoning ordinance.
Correct.
Can we do that at any point in time we want to?
No, it'll have to go through the public hearing and the whole process.
But isn't it just once a year?
No. No, the council can do that anytime you initiate that, or the Planning Commission can initiate that at any time.
Okay, great.
Eric, just while we're talking about yearly things, will you talk to us a little bit about the 3-month, the state of Utah just changed everything to, you have to look at it at least within every 3 months. Will you talk about that while we're right here?
I will. It's not only applies to this, but it applies to all applications. If the application is turned in, we have to take action on it within 60 days.
60 days.
We have, I don't know how I put this nicer than the legislature stacked with developers.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so that, you know, seeing everything in November, that's no longer... As of the state changed that this year, we have 60 days to see all applications. So,
To take action.
Can I ask you a question?
You bet.
What are the buildings classified that are right there by the nursery where the Frito-Lay guy is and all that? All those buildings
are connected. All commercial. Russ Witt's commercial.
Right, but are
building.
They considered, does each company own their own thing?
They rent.
Oh, they rent.
So Russ owns all that, and they rent from Russ.
From Russ, okay. I didn't know.
But if we did something like this, then he could apply to turn them into condos and sell them.
And whatever they build, he could do that same thing too.
Yes. So what advantage is there for the town in doing this? It sounds like a bunch of extra work.
It could bring in more revenue for the town. It allows people that don't want to rent, that want to have stake in the game, they're able to purchase, and there's a big market for that right now, and it's notable. So you have potential for higher revenue in the town. That's the plus.
Do we get property tax?
What's the one plus?
Yeah.
It's significantly higher property tax.
Not necessarily. You have one company that can exceed all of those other companies combined in one business that depend on the nature of the business and what they do.
I'm talking condominiums. Like a seven unit condo building would pay much more property tax than a seven unit apartment building.
I don't know how that, the appraiser, I mean, the county assessor is going to assess that.
You're probably not going to turn them into condos if you're the owner, unless you can make more by doing that.
Yes.
Right? Because it takes the value up.
In this city, a seven unit building is probably worth $300,000 a piece for the condos, but the apartment building's going to be significantly less. Because an owner is not going to buy it at a price in which he's going to rent it to pencil an owner. The market for this type of product is extremely high for people that want to live here and pay.
Somebody who wants to, I mean, if somebody is caught up in that, they can easily rent the space.
I was just speaking about, that's why the property tax is higher, because a seven unit building that can be sold individually is going to be worth way more than a building that can only be rented. Because someone's willing to pay $300,000 for a building to live in it, but that building is not going to pencil as a rental.
I'm not sure the county assessor would see it.
I own a building just like this in Provo, and that's why I'm versed in it pretty well, but the property tax of those seven units individually is...
It's higher.
Collectively, much more than if the building was one parcel, because it's seven separate parcels, so...
So, yeah, revenue would be...
That's one of the benefits, I would say. Owners, you're going to get a huge chunk of people that own it and not just rent it.
Yeah, and you do stand the potential also for point of sale tax also, with different ones. If you have one person that's not doing point of sales, you could... So the revenue could be higher.
Does that include a low-income housing mandate too or not?
So this is only commercial.
But for the condo buildings?
The condo is commercial.
It's commercial.
Business condo is what we're talking about, not residential.
Got it, okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to be the guy that comes in here and tells these guys condo residential. I'll be where you are, over there by the Dixit.
Are there any more questions about this? The Planning Commission's been working on this for, like I say, it's been several months. We've asked them to look into this for us. This is what they've come up. And tonight, there's not a vote, there's nothing. This was a discussion.
So we take some time to work
on this. So, like I say, this would have to go to a public hearing. It would have to, we would have to have public comment. It would have to go on the agenda, you know, a couple months down the road. Basically, this is for you guys to look at, digest.
If there's changes.
If there's changes or anything that you're thinking about, then we should probably have a discussion on this and make it an agenda item.
Where it's on commercial.
Next month, something like that.
When he built the building, and if you were to condominiumize, as we're saying, is there adequate parking facilities there?
It depends on the use. So there was enough for storage. Now,
storage and something else is...
Right, well, those were all designed to be units. So it depends on the use is what... Our parking matrix has different levels for the use.
And so I imagine parking's in here.
No, it's not in the code. And plus we have our own parking matrix in a different section of code. They'll talk to those. So that was my concern with this with Nephi, and I've expressed that to him.
He has three phases in this project.
This is phase one.
This is phase one. If that use for parking exceeds, he's not gonna be able to do his other two phases. And so he said he didn't want to jeopardize the other two phases, but that's exactly what he could do if he sold and the uses went to a higher use.
Is he in favor of this?
Yes, he hired Gordon Law to prepare this for us. Now, I told the planning commission, and I don't know if this is, if I should say it or not, I am not in favor of this, just so you know. I see a lot of overhead. We don't have staff. This could eat up a lot of time for somebody.
I see a lot of liability.
But that's just me, so.
Instead of dealing with one building owner, we're gonna deal with however many he decides to condominiumize it to, you know, and that could be a big can of worms.
Legally, can we deny it?
Absolutely. Right now, it's not allowed.
It's not allowed.
Yeah, absolutely. That's within your rights. If that's something that you don't feel like is gonna benefit the town, then you have the obligation to turn it down.
What's the address of this place?
It's Nyko.
It's on Highway 40, just north of Little Sweden.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
If you're driving up 40 before you hit the weigh station on the right-hand side of the road, you'll see a new building right there.
So Eric, his second and third phase, are they right there on that same parcel?
Same parcel, right. So that's what I didn't want. That's what I tried to warn him about, is if this use exceeds, then he won't have the parking available to do his other units, which he told me he didn't want to jeopardize. And so that's kind of a, I mean, if he sells it to somebody that's within that scope and then they turn around and sell it to somebody that's outside that scope, he could jeopardize his next phase.
Well, at Jump On Place at any one time could have quite a few cars parked there.
It could. Yeah, any use, you just don't know what that, our parking matrix says how many parking spots has to be for that use. And so that's where the town code will come into play. And we have a stricter parking matrix than the state of Utah recommends. We go to all these meetings and the developers will tell us we don't need that many parking spaces. And I told him we'd be glad to look at it to change it if he could show me one place in Utah that has enough parking.
That's right.
So, absolutely. Until then, I don't think we're ready to change our matrix.
So how come that corner piece there, he's able to have commercial access from Little Sweden?
So he had an access off Little Sweden, and then he paid for the access off of Highway 40. So it's the same thing that we were talking about in the zone change, two accesses to develop. This is that same process.
Okay, that's what I'm just trying to figure out, because I just recently moved to Little Sweden and live one parcel away from all of this that's been discussed tonight. So I'm just curious.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's the very thing we talked about tonight with the other parcel. Before he could develop, he had to get that other access.
Okay.
Which is a shared access. They did make him share that access, but that's the process.
Is he gonna quit using that one on the Little Sweden?
No, that's what I'm saying. They're entitled to that access. That's the access to their property.
It was an original access.
That's right.
Yeah, but you see how he went about it versus how we had the discussion tonight, how they wanna go about it? You know, it's like I say, cart before the horse.
He had to go through the same process. He had to get the property zone changed in order to go to UDOT, in order for UDOT to, he went through the same he went through the same process as the TH Land did. And he couldn't move forward on that building until it was zoned commercial. Then he had to go meet with UDOT, and that's what allowed that process.
Recommendation.
One thought I had on this, in my experience, the type of tenant and business from this type of building tends to be sometimes a grade higher, because the people that, when you lease a unit, you don't want to invest the capital to build it out to your business or your use or whatnot. And when people own that condo or that unit, even if it's a store, even if it's an empty shell and they can invest in it, I've seen a much different tenant type, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that's very true.
Which crosses over across the whole town. It's different than someone signing a one-year lease to rent a space than someone that can purchase it and build it out to his spec.
Yep. Yeah, I believe that.
On the flip side, there's a whole lot of companies that just don't want to own property, and they just assume lease, including Walmart and everybody else like that. So they can find, they have escape pods. They want to expand and double or triple the size of their business, and they're in a pod. They don't have any flexibility. So if you go up Highway 40, you'll find that the majority of the people along there are all leasing. Including Mountain Land and other companies like that are thriving, they just lease.
Yeah, but we're talking 2,500 square feet, right?
Or more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen any more discussion come to the town about the people that wanted to take the whole bottom half of his building. Is that?
So we did a final inspection this week. That's not going to happen.
Okay. So that's dead in the water.
Yes.
So is there elevators in that building?
There is, and we got the inspection back. So his CO is active now, and he received his CO on 2, 5, and 7 units. All have their certificate of occupancy as of this week.
So if the only way to access the upper floor is, and if you've got a large commercial need, then you're carrying everything up an elevator.
There's a stairway also.
Or a stairway.
Yep. Everything that's climate controlled storage is on the second floor.
Okay. We're done with agenda item number 9 then. Let's go to agenda item number 10, council reports. We'll start with you, Robin.
Thank you. I really don't have anything to report tonight. I did go to the interlocal meeting and a lot of discussion there regarding the bypass road and things like that, but it was pretty much information. Affordable housing was a good one.
Thank you. Eric?
Nothing here, thanks.
Okay.
Nothing.
Okay. Gary?
Not at this time, but.
Okay. And I don't really have a lot. I was able to go with Eric on these CO inspections on, when we go, Friday?
Friday
afternoon, after we get out of a meeting. And I'm a contractor. I've done this for years, but it's good to go in and just look at different buildings and see how the buildings are set up. And we have some really good businesses in the bottom level of this NECO office building. Aloha Fence moved in there. That's one of them. And then there's another company in there that, and this is what I found very interesting, and I could talk about this all night long, but he's rented about one third of the building, and they're making metal studs and trying to make metal trusses, floor trusses. They're gonna fab them right in that building, right in this shop, and it was just fun to talk to this guy. And I mean, they bring in coils, and they have their own bender and everything, and he kind of showed us a little bit how it worked, and you know, it was pretty cool, and I think he's got a pretty good business.
Do we have business licenses on?
We will have.
We will have.
Yeah. They just started.
Nephi has one for that
okay.
building.
Yeah, Nephi has one, and then each business that moves in will, and they'll be informed of that, and we'll have Town of Daniel businesses. But I thought it was pretty interesting. Just I walked through a lot of buildings and with a lot of inspectors, and I quite enjoyed that. So anyway, okay, let's go to item number 11, the planner report. That's in your packet. Have any questions for Eric on that? As you can see, there's quite a little bit of stuff carrying on in the town. And We'll just keep. So there is, under complaints, I do want to address trailers and living arrangements on Little Sweden Road. And we've had an individual in the town who has filled out a couple of complaints. And have these guys got a copy of this?
Yeah.
In there? We have a copy of this for all of you. You can go ahead and read that. And we've had multiple months to investigate this. And this is what our findings have come to. I'll answer questions on that if you have any.
The question I have is the person that filed the complaint, and we done the investigation. So how do we come up with zero based on the complaint that's been filed for over 2 years?
Well, if you read through.
I read it.
If you read through there.
I don't think you have.
I have it. I read it.
We have spent multiple months, and when I say we, I mean me and Eric, and we've been to this property multiple times. And this is what our investigation has come up with.
So you found not a problem?
There's no evidence somebody living in the trailer on that property.
None whatsoever?
There's no evidence of the lights aren't on at night.
Nobody living in?
Nobody.
Have trailers been moved?
Nope.
There were three trailers on this property, and two of the three have been moved.
Right.
There's one trailer.
It's parked there and it's plugged in. But there's no lights on. At one time the door was open, as I told you in here. It looked like they were cleaning it, but there's at night, there's no lights on in there. During the day, there's any time I go by, there's just no evidence. I'm not saying they're not doing it. There's no evidence that we can prosecute or have them do anything. There's no action from the town council. My opinion.
Yeah, there is a trailer in the backyard, like a dump. It's not a dump trailer, but it's like an old wagon style trailer that they're throwing garbage in. Similar to 90% of us that live in this town have some type of a garbage trailer behind their house, or however you get rid of your garbage. There is one of those there. It has been dumped a couple times that I've noticed. But
I don't know where the garbage is coming from then, huh?
Well, I would imagine they're cleaning out some of them barns and stuff.
Okay.
Back behind there. It looks like that type of garbage.
It's not to me. Like household garbage.
No.
Yard waste.
Well, that's great.
So that will address the complaint right there. We'll make sure that we get that taken care of.
So my recommendation was to send a copy of this to the complaint so that they're aware of what our findings are. You as a council, if you'll direct Scott to have me do that, I'll do that.
I'll direct you to send him a copy.
You will notice also, it has nothing to do with the complaint, but the mother there has passed away this past week. So there's probably going to be some changes with that property also.
Correct. And we're talking about the Bates property, basically. The address is 1821, I believe, Little Sweden Road, almost to the end of Little Sweden.
Yeah.
Okay. One other thing that I want to make you aware of while we're right here at this point is there's a sheet in your packet called the 2025 meeting schedule. I asked him to make a copy of that so that you guys could look at these dates before we put it on an agenda to approve and make sure that we're all on the same page.
Sure. It started with the beginning of the town. Because the meeting's being on Monday. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it was availability of a place to meet is how it was started.
Okay.
So just, that's there for your information.
It's just a bad day.
We'll have it on an agenda in the upcoming month for approval.
So the local RPO is tonight, right now, they're having it on the rural planning from MAG?
Oh, yeah.
That meeting is tonight, right now.
That's, I was just wondering if anybody's ever brought up the fact that, I mean, Monday is not the best night of the week to be holding this meeting.
Yeah, I don't know that there's.
Hard to be for me to.
Yeah, I don't think there's a good night.
There are better nights, let me put it that way.
Well, like I say, Ralph, when we set Monday, that was the only thing that was available that the county had for us to use. And we since tried to change that, but everything else was scheduled.
If this room is the only time it's available on Monday, then that's a.
It's a factor.
Very important factor.
I'd say it's a big factor.
Okay, let's, anything else on the planning report?
All addresses?
All addresses, everything's there.
Don't go unnoticed.
Let's go to Storm Haven and Daniel Water Systems. Any questions on that? Eric, is there anything that we need to know on the water systems?
So we've got our sampling in, we're getting, we submitted to lead and copper, our first go-around. They've changed, they went from a one series to a five series part. They changed that right after the deadline to turn them in, so now there's five different series we'll be going through. It's pretty extensive. With Adura going now, we don't have people to test, so I've been doing that. I still think we need to hire somebody to do that kind of stuff. It's quite kind of time consuming.
Yeah, we do.
I think it takes a lot of time, and not just anybody can do it. So we did get our reports back, the nitrates, everything was good on everything that we did. The temperature of the water was 11.1 and they want it below 10. So we're waiting to see if that comes back as an item. We take it down and drop it off and then they ship it to Salt Lake. So somewhere between where we dropped it off and where it got Salt Lake, it reached a higher temperature than what they wanted to test for nitrates, but.
That's because they didn't put it in a cooler.
We had it in a cooler with ice.
Yeah, but they didn't.
Yeah.
I had tests they took from the county, they took down and then they didn't turn the test in until the next day.
Yeah, it happened.
So where do we drop the tests off right now?
At Chemtech.
Oh, at Chemtech, not the county. County still do it? They don't do it on there.
They're not on there. But I'm aware of, it doesn't show on the map. They have a map where you can drop off.
Yeah, they used to go twice a month.
Division of Drinking Water. So we will be doing lead and copper in Storm Haven. And those are hard to get back. I drop off 10 bottles and we gotta have them filled up out of the tap in the morning. And down they go, and guaranteed you're not gonna get 10 back, and you can't turn them in without a sample. So you have to have 10 to get that done. So.
It's 10 now instead of 5?
10.
Well, I used to have to go to the house.
Yeah, but if they have to run that tap first thing in the morning.
Right.
I mean, that's.
How do you know that?
Well, I don't know that.
So.
But that's what
that's a stipulation.
It's hard to get back the bottles.
Yeah, it's a stipulation that you can't hold your finger on it.
We got a call from the realtor that bought Dottie's house, and she called her realtor and said that there was people on her lawn getting water out of her tap, saying they were sampling it. So the realtor called and wanted to know what was going on.
Mm-hmm. So who was that, do you think?
That was me, dear. Hey, just one other thing. There was a leak on Reggie Kohler's water meter, and we got that fixed last Friday. New meter was put in, his water leak's taken care of, so.
Was it the freeze plate on the meter?
Put a whole new meter in.
I know, but what was leaking?
Yeah, it went out the bottom. I don't think it was a freeze plate because it happened in the summer, but.
Yeah.
It could have cracked in the spring and finally broke in the summer.
Yeah. Anyway, we got a new meter put in it, got
and
that
then,
taken care
and,
of.
And along those same lines, Ron Lish has installed 23 of the new registers.
I talked to him the other day.
Yep.
So, he's coming back.
We're working on that.
We got more.
That's what he said.
Yeah. We got more.
So, okay, let's go to agenda item number 13, reporter's office warrants, and any questions on those? Kim, thanks for getting all this stuff out early. Appreciate it.
Great. Makes our meetings much shorter.
If you've had time to look at them, I'll just call for a motion when you're ready.
Motion to approve the warrants.
Second it.
Second. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Lauder, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. Agenda item number 14, approval of the meeting minutes for October 7th, 2024. If you've had time to look at those, when you're ready, I'll call for a motion.
I've got just a clarification on paragraph number, item number 8, Storm Haven Dam and Water System Report. As I recall, Kim, Gary brought up the question about whether or not there was any movement on the Staker Parson offer of an acre ground. And then he didn't state, but I did.
Oh, okay.
That gift would be predicated upon some performance on behalf of the town. Anything I say.
So are you talking about where it says he stated that until that,
yes,
that last
those,
one?
Both of those he stated shouldn't be Gary because it's one that he mentioned there.
Rob.
Oh, okay.
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 So that should be changed to Robin.
Okay, so he will now reflect Robin.
Yeah.
And that is at the very
Last two sentences.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'll change
that. That was just minor clarification.
No, I'm glad you saw it. Sometimes it's hard when I'm listening. Some voices don't know, and it depends on where it's at.
Thanks for that, Robin, because as I read that, I wasn't sure that I'd even said that.
Okay, so I'll call for a motion then.
Motion to approve minutes from October 7th.
Okay, and do I have a second?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Lauder abstain.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
God,
okay, call for a motion.
You can't abstain.
I so moved.
Do I have a second? Yep. Eric, second. Call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
What are we voting on?
Closing the meeting.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Out of here.
Okay. Who made the motion?
Go ahead, vote nay.
That's what I was just telling him. He can't keep voting nay.
Kohler, yes.